Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for Gene. Thank you for Daddy. Thank you for Granddaddy. Help us to honor him now as we honor you and your son Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. In a letter dated June 8th, 1984, Marty Mathis, my grandmother, wrote about her husband. Gene is a staunch supporter of the poultry industry, as you know, has a wonderful dry sense of humor, and is a firm believer in loyalty to America and to the infallible Word of God. He does not drink, smoke, tell dirty jokes, or curse. In fact, I have never heard him utter a single curse word, though he may lie a little when he discusses politics. He dislikes telling anyone what to do. He thinks each of us should know exactly what to do and do it to the best of our ability. I think he's a most unusual fellow, and I'm proud to have shared my life with him. A most unusual fellow. My grandfather, Gene Mathis, was indeed a most unusual fellow, and I mean that, like Marty did, in all the best ways. It was a good thing he was unusual. It was good for his wife. It was good for his kids. It was good for his grandkids. It was good for everyone who met him that he was unusual. And what we're in desperate need of today is not more usual fellows. What we could use a lot more of is unusual fellows, like Granddaddy. No doubt, we could list a dozen ways that he was unusual in good ways. A whole egg carton for Granddaddy of ways that he was unusual in good ways. But let me try to capture the three most that feel significant to me. And I hope that maybe these will cover in some way some of the ones that you'll feel and get at the heart of this man that we love and esteemed so much. First, he was unusual because he was a listener. Marty wrote in that 1984 letter, which is manifestly humorous to those who know her, "Gene talks all the time, never giving me a chance." We all know Gene did not talk all the time. Marty talked all the time. Marty was a teacher. Gene was a staunch supporter of the poultry industry. The sheer fact that he was married to her happily for almost 70 years speaks to the fact that he was a good listener, or at least that he pretended to listen well. Listening is a lost art today in a world in which everybody is talking. Talking heads, talking on cell phones, we're tapping out text messages, pecking at keyboards, rushing to social media with the latest hot take on sports or politics. In such a world of talk, Granddaddy was a breath of fresh air because he listened. He indeed was unusual. He was quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. In celebrating Granddaddy as a most unusual fellow, because he was a listener, we're celebrating that he was humble. When every mouth around you is open, how do you keep yours closed? How do you resist the urge to speak? Humility. Gene was a listener because he was humble. Not that he didn't talk. He did. He just made it count. When Granddaddy spoke, it mattered. He measured his words. He knew every word had a cost, and he spent them with care. When he offered you his invaluable advice, it was pointed, it was perceptive, it was powerful. And when he did open his mouth, if it wasn't wisdom, it was to tell a joke. Marty couldn't help but mention in that letter his wonderful sense of humor. To know Granddaddy as friend was to know him as funny. I'll never forget his jokes at the dinner table. I have a friend who said to me last week, his new hearing aid is amazing. So I asked him, what kind is it? And he answered, that's about 3:15. One day, an officer pulled over a car because he could see a pig was riding in the passenger seat. And he asked the driver, what are you doing with the pig? The driver answered, I'm taking him to the zoo. The officer thought he understood, sent him on his way. Next day, the officer saw same car, same driver, same pig in the front seat. So he pulled him over. He said, I thought you were taking him to the zoo. The driver said, I did. He liked it so much, now I'm taking him to the fair. And as you know, Granddaddy not only said funny things, he did some funny things too. He was unusual in his bias against umpires, referees, and any manner of officials in sporting competitions, especially involving the Clemson Tigers. He was so notorious at barking through the television at the referees that my dad bought him a little referee doll with Velcro arms and legs so that at the big game you could pull him off and throw him across the room. Granddaddy also had some unusual sayings like, ham hock, pig or pork, any way you slice it, it's bologna. Or when he was praising a good first bite, he would say, that'll make your tongue flap back and knock your brains out. And of course, he was unusual for his thriftiness. I remember very distinctly running errands over by the old Greenville Mall, which I heard not there anymore, or changed. And we realized we're low on gas. We were not done with the errands on that side of town. But we drove all the way to Taylor's, if not Greer. It may have been all the way to Greer, because Granddaddy knew of a station that had gas 3 cents less per gallon than anywhere else in Greenville. He was a listener. Secondly, he was unusual because he was a servant. And if you came here with one thought about Gene today, it probably was this. Like listening, being a servant is an expression of humility. My one prevailing mental image of Granddaddy is with a broom in his hand, sweeping the driveway. It would have been nice if I had the gas-powered blowers, right? He served tirelessly. He served our country. He finished his freshman year at Clemson. He went into the Army, served during World War II in France and Germany, where he was wounded in combat, received the Purple Heart Medal of Honor, as well as 2 Bronze Stars for heroic valor. I didn't know what this was till last night. We were tracking this on the internet. We're looking where his division went. We may not even know how great this man was. These medals were for individual acts of heroic valor, to which he never boasted. I don't know the stories. I wish I could ask him the stories. I'll ask him someday. Served Uncle Sam in total for 8 years, taught ROTC in Santa Barbara 3 years after he finished in the service. Finished at Clemson, graduated in 52 in poultry science. Then, throughout his life, he served others. Not just country. And did he ever serve? He was selfless. He noticed the needs of others and he took tangible steps to meet them. He served his 4 children. He served his church, where he was a deacon, even deacon chairman several times. He served his grandchildren. He served in France, in Germany, in Santa Barbara, in Clemson, in Sumter, in Newberry, in Columbia, in Greenville. And then he served in Spartanburg. My youngest sister, Mary, was born when I was 9. Granddaddy and Grandmommy leveraged their retirement years to regularly help my parents with 4 kids under 10. And as we grew. So after military service and a life of service, Granddaddy retired to even more service, not less. I am so glad he and Grandmommy didn't pack it up and moved to Boca Raton. but that they stayed in Greenville and eventually Spartanburg, and they gave the freest years of their life in happy service to their children and grandchildren. And of course, the crowning gem of his life of service was caring so well for Grandma me for her last 10 years. For her funeral 3 years ago, I wrote this paragraph. Let me read it to you. An essential part of Marty's legacy is that she was never alone. There was Granddaddy Gene. There he was, and there he has been. When I think of Grandmommy's voice, the one word I hear her saying over and over again, with fondness and great respect, is, Gene. When I think of Granddaddy's voice, it's, Marty. In this last decade, she was never alone, as Granddaddy stood so faithfully at her side, sacrificing to meet her needs. He moved his life to Spartanburg to see her daily, to fulfill every last ounce of his husbanding covenant, to make good like too few still do on his promise, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. Marty's legacy will forever be tied to the amazing, unusual, tireless service and faithfulness of her husband. He loved her as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Amazing, unusual, tireless service. I felt a deep kindred spirit with Grandmommy, when I found that we both used the adjective unusual for Granddaddy. Granddaddy was a leader, but he was the furthest thing from bossy. He led his wife and his family not as a sergeant, but as a servant. If God himself, in human flesh, could wash his disciples' feet, then it was not above Gene Mathis, as head of his household, to lead through service. In fact, it was essential. Granddaddy's unusual service was no evidence of weakness. It was a revelation of strength. Jesus said to his disciples in Mark 10:42-44, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the nations lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be the slave of all." When Grandmommy wrote in that 1984 letter that Jean dislikes telling anyone what to do, I think she meant it in the best possible sense. He wanted others to learn to obey from the heart, not external conformity. And that doesn't happen by bossing or lording it over. That happens by listening and serving. Granddaddy helped others learn to serve not by mandate, but by example. And in the end, it served him so well. Because he could not have served Marty so well those last 10 years if his family had not served him so well. Julie, Blair, Skip, Pop, you learned it from him. He didn't have to tell you what to do. You saw him serve. You saw him love. You saw him meet needs. You saw him care for Grandmommy. And then you walked in his steps as you served him in his final days. I believe God was so pleased with your service. My mom, in particular. Mom, you cared for Granddaddy as well as any daughter-in-law could. She lost her own father when she was 36. I'm 36. I can't imagine. After her father died, granddaddy became like another father. For 30 years. And you served him almost as tirelessly as he served grandmommy. Now finally, granddaddy was unusual, not only because he was a listener and a servant, but because he was a Christian. All three of these are expressions of humility. Being a Christian is not an accomplishment. It's not something you earn. It's not something you achieve. Being a Christian is the most humbling thing. It means admitting you're not strong enough. You're not good enough. To be a Christian is to admit that you're weak. It's to admit that some very dark things dwell in your heart. And being a Christian makes you more unusual today than it did when granddaddy was young. And that's a good thing in some ways. Many ways, maybe. Hopefully we have less pretenders today. When Christianity is usual, there is greater pressure to pretend. When Christianity becomes more unusual, pretenders fall away. It may have been that Gene Mathis, as Marty wrote, did not drink, smoke, tell dirty jokes, or curse. Maybe in some holes in that. But this is not what made him a Christian. What made him a Christian was receiving by faith, in place of his weakness, the strength of Christ. And in place of his wickedness, the goodness of Christ. I do believe that granddaddy heard on Wednesday evening, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." But don't think that granddaddy served Jesus in the same way that he served wife, kids, grandchildren, and friends. The difference between Uncle Sam and Jesus is that Uncle Sam won't enlist you unless you're healthy. Jesus won't enlist you unless you're sick. The next verse in that passage in Mark 10 that we just read, verse 45, "Even the Son of Man," Jesus' way of referring to himself, "even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." As a Christian, granddaddy's fundamental orientation on Jesus was not one of serving him, but being served. Jesus served granddaddy. Jesus gave him strength when he was weak. Jesus produced in him a harvest of joy and peace and willing service. Jesus was his Lord, yes, and he was his Savior who rescued him from his sin. Like grandmommy wrote in that letter, he was a firm believer in the infallible Word of God. Amen. I'm so glad that granddaddy did not pretend at Christianity. And I'm confident he would say that nothing would honor his life more and his legacy more than if his death might be the occasion for someone to say, "I'm not going to pretend anymore." This life is not a game. Heaven and hell are real. Eternal misery or eternal happiness is at stake. This is more real. What we're doing in here is more real than what we'll be doing this afternoon out there. On Wednesday, August 23rd, when granddaddy died, on the day we had been praying. Thank you, Aunt Julie, for inspiring that prayer. He died on the day we prayed that he would die on August 23rd. And the sweetest thing that happened wasn't that he was reunited with grandmommy on the very day of their 70th anniversary. Sweet as that was. The sweetest thing is that together they saw Jesus. Everything Granddaddy's soul ever longed for became reality in that moment. He saw the very glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Gene Mathis is now happier than we can even imagine. The reunion with Grandmommy is precious. But to depart and be with Christ, that is far better. And Marty and Gene are now marveling in the presence of Christ, and they have never been happier. Let me pray for us. Father, I imagine that as we join now in singing How Great You Are, that we're joining with Marty and Gene, who know even more than we do how true it is that you are great. They are marveling. They are living in unencumbered, boundless joy. And so, Father, we thank you for the life. We thank you for the legacy, to the infallible word, to service, the kind of patience, the kind of confidence deep down that would be willing to listen to others and to serve, to so tirelessly serve. Father, thank you for Gene Mathis, for Daddy, for Granddaddy. You gave us a great gift for 92 years. And so we sing together now, not how great Gene was, but how great you are, Father, and your gift of him to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.